Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. So, Eric, we have a lot to talk about today.
We do.
Not only is it The Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion part two, but we're going to be talking about this week's Real Housewives of New York, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
And the super tease for the new season of Below Deck Med just dropped, so we're going to watch that.
And later, you interviewed Hannah Berner from Summer House.
She was so funny. And then, of course, we're going to end with Rose and Thorn.
So before we get into this week's shows, though, I did want to shout out Denise on Instagram. DPL1925 reached out and said, "Hey, hey, no RHOBH on the pod today?" To which I say, we're going to talk about Bev Hills today.
Today we will, yes.
We're getting mixed messages, you guys.
It's true.
Sometimes you're like, enough. And sometimes you're like, more. But that said, thank you. Keep reaching out because we need to know what you guys wanted us to talk about.
Definitely. And I think last week's Beverly Hills, you know, there wasn't as much to discuss just because of what happened on the other shows. And after the Kyle and Lisa fight from the week before, I needed a breather.
Yeah, fair.
I'm still traumatized.
Right. It's emotional.
So Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion part two.
Yes.
Portia was my MVP again.
She's so funny.
She was cracking me up when she was talking about, they were referencing Shamari's dress, and I'm pretty sure it was Marlo who threw some shade, being like, that looks like it's from Claire's. And Portia's like, oh no, not Claire's, they're clothes. And then when they were talking about her daughter and who the godmother would be, and she was like, yeah, it'll be Candy, she's rich as hell. She was cracking me up the whole time. But outside of Portia, what's going on with Nene?
Nene just doesn't seem happy. She seems miserable.
Yeah.
I mean, not only with her relationships with all the ladies, which are basically non-existent at this point, but with her and Greg.
I know. When he came out and joined on the couch, I was kind of hoping that we would see a bit of a switch in Nene, because I think in part one, she was very closed off. She kind of did have that sort of look on her face, like she was just uninterested in being there. So I thought maybe then having Greg by her side as someone who, you know, she's married to, like, granted they have been through a lot this season, I thought maybe she would kind of open up a little bit more because of everything that they've been going through, but she still kind of seemed very closed off, and she still seemed very aggressive towards Greg, even in front of everyone.
So I do like that she's not sugarcoating anything. We don't have to know the fact that they're not sleeping in the same bed, but she revealed that detail.
Are you now back in the same room together?
No.
You're not?
No.
Yeah.
You know, so I do give her props for complete transparency. But at the same time, like, what's happening?
Well, and what she keeps going back to is that she's looking for support. That's what she argued with Marlo. It's what she argued with Portia. It's what she's arguing with Cynthia. She's kind of arguing that so much, but it seems like the way she's coping with that is actually just closing everyone off. So nobody really knows how they can support her. And I feel like maybe Greg similarly feels that way, too, as someone who is going through this sickness and Nene's taking care of him, you know, maybe he is not taking care of Nene back. And I think that's kind of the point that she's been making, that who takes care of the caretaker. Mm-hmm. But it seems like she's really putting up walls, and that's preventing her from getting the proper support that she needs.
Right.
She reminded me a little bit at this reunion, too, of kind of how Teresa was acting at the Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion, where once Tanya was out on stage, she kept kind of being like, well, that end of the couch, like, y'all wouldn't be here without me. Like, she kind of had that, it was like the Nene show.
Yeah, no, it was total Teresa vibes.
It was really, like, just kind of uncalled for, too. Like, when you argue like that, I feel like that kind of overconfidence doesn't read well with the audience. Like, that turns everyone off and almost against Nene, being like, well, I like the people who are on the end of that couch. Like, why do you have to be so critical of them and why they're here?
Right. Also, I will say, because she kept saying to Tanya, I'm not going to give you your moment. You're trying, but, like, I'm not going to give it to you. She should have just been friendly toward Tanya, and that really wouldn't have given her a moment.
Right. She gave the moment in not giving her a moment. backfired right there. The only thing that I did kind of appreciate about the way Nene was reacting is how Marlo was trying to coach her on how to react to the girls and being like, just say you're sorry and
just
move on.
Say you're
sorry. And then Nene would be like, I'm sorry, I'm moving on, we are moving on, you know? And it was like, okay, that might not be genuine, but at least Marlo was helping to move things along.
It was a very Roxanne moment.
It's not going to work out.
So
you know what? Maybe you're going to marry Mike, but maybe you'll marry someone else. Like, do you understand my intention behind what I was saying?
Yes, I do. And I'm so sorry you feel that way. I totally understand.
I'm asking you if you understand my intention behind what I said.
I totally understand.
I also felt really bad for Portia because she really opened up, I thought, and poured her heart out. And even Andy was like, she's sitting here kind of like expressing how she feels about your friendship, Nene. And Nene just did not care.
Right.
Like, come on. Portia's feeling very emotional. She's very pregnant at this point. Like, she's trying to let it all out and maybe trying to reconnect with Nene in these like kind of final moments of the reunion. And it's sort of like she wants nothing to do with it.
Right.
I also wanted to ask you, and I feel like this comes up a lot, and it has been coming up a lot, especially on Vanderpump Rules this season, is the idea of a drinking problem versus a problem drinking.
Mm.
She doesn't have a drinking problem. She has a problem drinking. Like, she just doesn't... No! She just doesn't know her levels.
Like, I know exactly what Portia was trying to say, but it's kind of hard to put that into other terms. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, what... Like, a drinking problem is... Like a, you are an alcoholic.
You can't stop drinking.
And then a problem drinking.
Is you don't know your limit.
Right. So I feel like Shamari is sort of that latter one. Like she just doesn't, I don't think she's an alcoholic. I think she just like lets loose when she's not around her kids and not around Ronnie and when she's around these girls. And I mean, frankly, I can't imagine not drinking if I were in the presence of these ladies.
I also fall into the latter. I mean, I have a hard time once I get started. I'm like, I feel so good. I don't want this feeling to end.
Yeah.
I will have another. Oh, and a shot? Okay. Oh, and another? Like, then I keep going.
And I wonder, too, is a drinking problem perhaps more of the, like, if you get very angry or aggressive, like that's sort of one thing, but Shamari kind of just gets like
fun
crazy. I mean, she gets a little like lesbian, she gets a little bit like just like a little too wild. And I understand, you know, when Candy at Eva's wedding was like, you need to stop drinking for a little while, but
I will say at the bi-wig party, I mean, if the worst she's doing is slapping a vagina, I'm here for it.
Well, in last week's Roni too, they talk about it with Sonia, like Ramona's like, she's either like she's 0 or 100. Like,
yes.
There's no in between.
Yes.
So it's very similar, I think, with Shamari. Like, she doesn't know how to just turn like a little bit up. It's like all the way, like full volume Shamari. So she has a problem drinking, but not a drinking problem. Portia, I agree. So next week, we're going to see in the last part of the reunion, they're going to finally address the closet situation and whatever happened with the belt.
Okay, so Real Housewives of New York, it is sort of the to-be-continued Berkshire's meltdown.
Yes. Don't touch the Morgan letters. Just don't touch
the Morgan
letters.
Don't touch the Morgan letters. Again, I've watched that part like 5 times, and every time I laugh so hard. I don't know why. It's just because the look on Bethany's face where she's just like, what? What just happened?
Well, even Ramona, because like Ramona had nothing to do with that. Like she was just like the one on the receiving end, even though it was Dorinda who touched the letters. But what we've come to find out is that those letters were props.
Right.
Okay.
Hey, Sonia.
We're all good. We're all
but
good.
Just so you know, those letters were not real letters. They just made
okay,
them
good,
up.
Good, right,
we're
good, good.
We're not even talking about it anymore. Okay.
So there was no risk of destroying the Morgan letters, but I think it just goes to show how when the Morgan stuff comes up for Sonia, she just reverts back to, like, the kooky lady.
I love that Ramona knew telling her that would fix it, and it did. It was, like, right away Sonia was like, oh, they're not real. Okay, I'm not going to worry about it. Let's have fun.
Right, where was that information prior, too? Like, did they have to wait until she had a full meltdown to be like, they weren't even real. Like, it's fine.
Right.
Well, then, speaking of Ramona, she gets right into the crazy adventure of the night by slipping into that little negligee.
Oh my God, what was that?
Listen, I thought it was fantastic. If you're going to have a naked chef making you dinner, why isn't everyone getting naked?
Okay, well, funny enough, so we had a Bravo influencer event, and Dorinda and Sonia were with Giselle from Real Housewives of Potomac, and someone was asking about the Berkshires episode. And Sonia brought up how Ramona, when she first started the show, was such a prude, never would talk about sex, would never think about, like, jumping into a pool naked. And she was like, and now it's just like, she's like, it's a whiplash for me because she's so different. And Dorinda told a story that Ramona a few days ago was showing her daughter Hannah a photo of her, like, half naked.
What?
Being like, don't I look good? And Dorinda's like, Ramona, what are you doing?
Well, I'm glad we got some more, you know, body positivity out of Ramona. You know, I mean, why not? Why not?
Why not?
Well, and then the night leads into finally the iPhone footage that we saw so long ago. And we're just waiting to see how it all unfolded. So I love that they actually didn't even have cameras rolling for that. And that we did kind of get to see it all again through Bethany's drunken iPhone lens.
No, I'm pissed. I'm pissed we didn't have cameras capturing all of that.
Right. I wonder what point production decided, like, we're going to get out of here now and just let these ladies completely, like, devolve into chaos.
Because I'm sure they do keep their wits about them to some extent when cameras are around, and then when they leave, they're just like balls to the wall.
And they were balls to the walls, except for Barbara.
I'm going to bed because I'm scared. I'm out. I'm downright scared.
Oh, went to bed early.
She couldn't hang. Now, why do you think she made that choice?
It's a bad choice, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Because that's number one when you're doing your real bonding with the group. Number two, you can't be a housewife if you can't hang.
It's true. I mean, Luann was there, and she is completely sober. So for her to hang through the night, but then, you know, Barbara to go back to the room that she complained about being placed in early just because she didn't want to be involved, I was like, what are you doing?
And then also seemed to bolt the next morning. Like, she wanted to get out of there. I'm like, why? What was wrong?
Why did she bother coming?
Yeah.
The next day, we see everyone kind of get up and leave, and then Bethany and Dorinda go on a walk, and Bethany presents that note that she found when she was staying at a hotel in Boston, where it was like, you look gorgeous, you're so beautiful, have an amazing day, signed D, which I thought was pretty crazy.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I believe in signs for sure. If it happened to me, because it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter if it was someone else that left that note in a hotel room, right? Like, if it was a stranger.
Right.
The point is that it was there and that she saw it.
The point is how you receive those signs, even if it was some other person or something.
Have you ever received a sign from beyond?
Well, the funny part is, and I think Dorinda kind of touches on it too, like, oh, who knows what it could really be. But I've been to a couple mediums. And it was always with, like, a group of friends where, like, they were interested in, like, communicating with someone or whatever. And we all kind of got together and had, like, a full seance. And there were some really crazy things that were said that, like, no one would really know. But they're just obscure enough.
Right.
That you could, like, perhaps interpret it as your own thing. So I'm very, like, fuzzy on that line of, like, is it possible to communicate with the world beyond, or is it just sort of like a very insightful person who just knows how to
read the room?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because I went to the Turkish coffee reader that they on this show saw a few seasons ago, and she did say some things that were crazy. But as someone pointed out recently, you remember the hits, you don't remember the misses.
That's
so, like,
true.
She definitely said things that did not apply, but the things that did, I was like, you know.
Right. One thing that is really funny, and I've told Danny this, is that I went to see well, I didn't go to see a psychic, but there was a psychic at this holiday party I went to when I lived in LA. It was like by the Producers Guild or something. And there was a psychic there. So I went and sat down and the woman was like, oh yeah, I used to be an actress and it didn't work out. So now I'm a psychic. And I was like, well, that seems odd. That seems like, okay, I'm not sure if I'm going to trust anything you say.
I didn't think it was a choice.
Right. I was like, okay, well, I guess you found your other calling. And we sat down and I don't remember any of the misses, but one of the hits that I remember was that she said something, she saw something about Portugal, or she saw something about someone Portuguese. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. At the time, one of my close friends was Portuguese. So I was like, oh, maybe he's, you know, she's picking up on him or whatever. And now, cut to just, you know, 2017, I met Danny.
Whoa.
And his parents are from Portugal. Right? So thank you, actress/psychic from the PGA holiday party.
Also, pro tip, if you go to a psychic, ask them, but record what they're saying.
That's true. So you can revisit.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think about Dorinda's phone sex?
Sweetie, I just want to say I miss you so much. I can't wait to spend some time with you next weekend. And really, we haven't had any sexy time, and I really miss you so much. So maybe we need to make some carve out some time and spend some really, really spend some time together.
I would love that, baby. I'm just going to be...
I mean, it's just been too long, too long.
I like what I...
Are you feeling okay?
You want to see me?
I'm going to send you a big, huge kiss. And I can't wait to be really close to you.
I love it, baby.
Okay, I love you.
So bad.
She needs some tips from Candy. Do you remember when Candy got dared to do it and she called Todd? And Todd was like, oh, shit.
She's like, I love it when you eat it from the back. What? Right? What? What? We're
and
going Durin, there?
Durin was like, can't wait to see you, baby. And
we need
like,
to carve out some sexy time.
Yeah, carve out is not what should fall into your vocabulary if you're trying to be sexy. But I don't know. John seemed to like it. Maybe because he doesn't really hear
clearly,
any of that.
Clearly, he never hears it. Guys are so easy, by the way, because in all those instances, the guy's immediately like, oh, hey. Like, they're not even questioning.
Right.
Why in the middle of a day of, like, I know you're filming right now. Why are you calling me about sex?
That's true. The end of the episode, when they're at the dinner at Bethany's house, which is, like, gorgeous, by the way. It's enormous.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We really see Tinsley get very upset about the whole, like, call Scott situation. So I wanted to ask you about that. Like, what do you think about how the girls are treating Tinsley and then how Tinsley is sort of treating the whole situation?
I'll be honest, that whole thing disturbed me.
Mm-hmm.
Not what, because I mean, I feel like the dare was simple enough. Dorinda did it.
Yeah.
It's how Tinsley reacted. For her to be so nervous to do it and for her to say to Bethany, yeah, he can be controlling. Like, I was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Oh, my dare was call your boyfriend.
A dare to call your boyfriend? That's an easy one.
Call your boyfriend.
I know. Well, I'm not doing that because he would be mad at me for doing that. Stop, you guys. I mean,
he would be mad at you for calling him.
I'm not doing it.
My dare was call your boyfriend. I got nothing else, folks. I'm out.
I feel like it's pretty obvious at this point that Scott doesn't want to be on camera, and perhaps it's something to do with his work. I mean, we saw that with last season of Real Housewives of Orange County. Like, Gina's now ex-husband, Matt, like, couldn't be on camera because of his job.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we have something similar going on with Scott where he just isn't, number one, allowed to be on camera. But I think, you know, also, I feel like the life that he wants, if that's the case, is more private, is off camera, is not in front of the spotlight. But that's the exact opposite of the life that Tinsley wants. Like, she's back here in New York. She's trying to get more of these hosting gigs. She has a press person who's trying to get her these gigs. So it seems in the long run, like, yes, Tinsley wants to have a family, have kids, settle down. And maybe Scott does, too. But I think it's the other side of Tinsley's life that Scott doesn't want to be a part of.
Right. I mean, I don't think anyone in her group of friends right now is really pushing for this couple, and I have to agree.
Yeah, and I'm not sure who among them is totally equipped to give relationship advice, but everyone has their opinion, and everyone has their perspective, yeah. And I think all of them at the end of the day are being a little bit harder on Tinsley because they do care about her, and they don't want to see her continue to invest time and money and effort and all of this into somebody that's like maybe not going to be her long-term person.
Right.
He's not her lobster.
and she doesn't have time to waste. Eric, do you remember mood rings?
Well, being a child of the 90s, it was mandatory to have one.
So Scentbird is sort of like an adult mood ring, but with fragrances. With more than 450 designer brands to choose a perfume or cologne from, you can switch up your scent depending on how you're feeling that day.
You could choose from brands like Prada, Tom Ford, Versace, or my personal favorite, Burberry. And Scentbird will send you a 30-day supply. That's 120 sprays, enough to apply more than 4 times a day for a month.
Not sure what type of scent you're looking for? Sort and find your new fragrance by brand, scent, occasion, season, and more.
One good tip is to check out user ratings and reviews on any fragrance, or you can actually take Scentbird's quiz to discover more personalized recommendations based on your taste.
And with an exclusive offer just for our listeners, you can get 50% off your first month today. That's only $7.50 for your first fragrance.
Go to scentbird.com/dish and use our code DISH for 50% off your first month.
Again, that's scentbird.com/dish. To try your first perfume or cologne for just $7.50.
Sign on and smell amazing.
So, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Well, we got some real sort of political drama happening on this episode, which I'd been waiting for kind of all season. That was one of the moments in the super tease that I was kind of excited about, because I love when Rinna gets fired up about something.
But also because it was sort of a, oh, they're going to talk about the Kavanaugh hearing.
Right.
Like, you know, that was a little surprising to see it in the super tea. So like you, yeah, I've been waiting.
What do you think about the way Camille sort of reacted to the whole thing?
Well, here's what I will say. All of us in our corner of the office, because Eric and I sit right by each other, we were all watching also. So I relate to the fact that everyone at that table had strong opinions, because so did we.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't understand how Camille was relating it to her situation.
That's what I was gonna say.
They're just apples and oranges.
When I went through my divorce, I was taken down, I was maligned, I was emotionally beaten down.
Camille, people have very aggressive opinions about you. Conniving, passive aggressive, narcissistic, catty, jealous, cruel, hypocritical, self-absorbed, manipulative, fake, insincere, delusional.
It's horrible to go through that when you've done a lot of good things in your life.
I think I've helped everybody out here in this hat tub. I have this Jesus complex, I think.
I empathize with what Brett Kavanaugh is going through. I've been in that position.
Now, I don't mean to say that, like, what Camille went through season one wasn't horrible. I can't imagine being on the cover of a magazine saying, like, world's most hated housewife.
Right.
That would be terrible. But is that the same thing?
I don't think so. And I think that was my point, too. Like, I feel like Camille, what she went through is horrible in its own right. And, you know, I can't even imagine what that must have done to her mentally, emotionally, and everything. But then you also have someone like Denise Richards sitting across the table from you, who was also dragged through the mud in the media with everything that happened with Charlie Sheen. And Denise kept quiet. Denise was like, I know my situation is not like this situation. It's very, very different. So, yeah, it did seem like Camille was like taking it on in a way that didn't really make sense, especially herself being a victim. But it also kind of speaks to like a bigger situation where it's always so interesting to find out where the housewives stand.
Right.
You know? And obviously with Lisa Rinna, you can tell where she stands.
How much does that matter to you?
I think it kind of depends on really how vocal they are, you know, because until they give you a real reason to be like, oh, wow, now I know exactly what you think and feel, and I just can't then look at you the same way. I mean, we've seen a lot of that in the last couple of years with the current administration, the latest election. You know, a lot of relationships within people's families have changed just because when your political views come out, especially when today's situation is so polarizing, I think it changes how you look at someone, and it may never fully recover. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely like this sort of undercurrent in what's going on a lot of the shows, sometimes maybe when we don't even realize it, but it definitely makes for some interesting research.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to talk about was how crazy the whole story about Lois's attack when she was younger.
A few years before I was born, my mom was attacked by a man that she worked with.
That was a really bad thing. And I knew him. Yeah.
He picked her up at the bus stop, and then all of a sudden he started to drive her down this really deserted road.
I thought that was it, that I was going bye-bye.
I mean, insane.
And we did a little bit of a crossover with our sister company, Oxygen, who did like an editorial coverage about the attack that Lois went through. But it was this like really kind of infamous serial killer that she survived.
Yeah. And I will say, so Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show is now on BravoTV.com. You should definitely watch all the clips, but there is one dedicated to this part of it because Lisa Rinna goes more into detail. And like Lois had just met Lisa's dad, and you know what a thing to go through. You're in a new relationship and this happens, and she spent months in the hospital recovering.
Yeah.
So it was just a lot. I can't imagine.
No. And for Lois to kind of keep it under wraps for so long too, and then only later on in life was Rinna able to learn what really happened. I mean, I can't even imagine learning that kind of information about one of your parents, you know, like, or anyone that you might know. Like, that's such a rare thing that happens. You know, I feel like people who are into true crime, it feels like, oh my God, that happens all the time, you know, but it really, something like that doesn't happen very often, especially knowing that that man served time and then got out and killed like 16 more people or something.
17 or 18.
Ah, we're turning into martinis and murder over here.
Right.
I also have to say that, as brief as it was, we got a little Kim Richards this episode.
Hold on, you're not gonna believe this, Lisa Rinna. Guess who's here right now, watching us?
Who?
My sister Kim.
What?
She just sent me a text saying I'm watching you.
I mean, just chef's kiss.
And it really wasn't something, because sometimes you're like, was she planted there? But she wasn't mic'd. Like, she definitely, there was no way that was not.
You could tell when Kyle went over to her, the way she was fussing with her hair, like, you could tell she was not prepared to be on camera.
Right, yeah, she
day.
Held up the menu. She was like, no cameras, please. And then Kathy was there, too.
So crazy.
I also loved the shade that Rinna threw at Kyle earlier in the episode, being like, well, your show got canceled, so that's why you and your sisters are close again. It's like, ooh.
That is one family I just need to know more.
100%.
I need to be at the Thanksgiving dinner.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
I love that Rinna also just breezed right by Kim.
Oh, yeah.
No stop and say hello. Okay, we are going to watch the new Super Tease for the next season of Below Deck Mediterranean. Let's go.
South of France is a playground for the wealthiest people in the world.
Beautiful beaches, amazing food.
France is different from the rest of the Med because it's full of French people.
Oh my God!
Oh! Oh. Here's to all of you.
And the water slide! Look!
So beautiful. You want the ham? We're gonna get the ham.
Our captain can do everything.
Quail egg with caviar on a bellini.
Wow.
Cheers, motorboat.
This looks amazing.
We'll have a little drinky poo.
I'm not allowed to drink on charter. I feel like this charter season, my job is my number one priority.
Oh, yeah. That's lovely. A treat right there.
Does anyone have a f***ing lighter?
Why are you doing this inside?
No.
I'm not happy with interior, and it starts with you. Do your job.
Was it worth it?
Yes. As a person, I need to set an example. It's not up to you to decide whether you can finish or not. It's not up to you. No, it's not.
Jack may not take you seriously, but you can be a hard ass.
I don't understand what your issue is.
I don't really need to be here.
If you want me to do things, you're going to have to ask me with respect.
I'm looking forward to witnessing you create these amazing meals.
Chef Mila's cordon bleu train out of Paris.
You don't know how to make chicken pancake batter. That's a bit of a problem.
How about whenever you cook?
The best train in the world.
Say everything in my face.
I'm saying it to your face. Your food. Boom.
This is my creation. It's called Sex on a Yacht.
Wow.
How long haven't you had sex, boy?
Like 6.5 weeks.
Voulez-vous coucher? Ave soir?
What are you doing?
What if I got a bit jealous that you kissed Travis?
Did you just kiss my breath?
It's your night.
You're a secret psycho and it's all coming out now.
I don't want my son seeing two men kissing each other.
Sit on the opposite end of this fucking table from me.
You're a piece of shit.
I've never experienced anxiety like this in my life.
What's happened? It's a fireball effect.
Can we take it on water? Bring the guests back immediately.
Where'd that come from?
Oh God, I am gonna get sick.
Incoming! Whoa! I can't do any more than this.
Really think about it.
That's not right.
Your position's now redundant.
I just wanna go home.
I have to let you go.
Yeah, we're gonna eat a Colin sandwich!
No, 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 no.
We obviously have some stormy seas, both physically and emotionally, among the cast.
I mean, I think what stuck out to me the most is the new chef.
Captain Sandy seems to really like her with all of this experience that she has, but it seems like she's not going to vibe with some of the other crew members this season.
Right. Joao's back.
Joao is back.
And he's a bosun.
And he is handsome as ever. he is. Do we think he's single?
Ooh, good question. I have to do some social media deep diving.
It seemed like he was hopping in a hot tub or something, right? With, like, maybe some other people getting
obviously
naked.
Obviously, relationships aren't going to last.
Not on the boat.
Not on the boat.
Why are they going to put us through another experience going through stormy waters, like some kind of boating accident, like scary? After what happened on Below Deck last season with Ashton and, like, Roni the season before... I'm not ready.
You can't control the sea, Eric.
That's a very good point, but it's just like that's when it gets so real for me that I just get very stressed out.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to get to see exactly how the season unfolds on June 3rd at 9, 8 Central.
Can't wait.
Next up, we have an interview with Hannah Berner from Summer House, and she is absolutely hilarious. She has her own podcast called Burning in Hell. I know she just had a comedy show at Caroline's on Broadway. We talked a little bit about how she balances her work relationship with Jordan and then being with him in the Summer House, which is really interesting. She also talked about her discussion with Lindsay after Lindsay sort of threw some daggers at her, being like, "You're looking girly finally." So here's that interview. Guys, we are here with Hannah Berner from Summer House. Hi, Hannah.
I'm so happy to be here.
How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, a couple episodes in.
Yeah.
Feeling good. Feeling the stride.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, I think it's going really well this season.
Thank you.
So I wanted to ask, you've described your flirting style as savage. So can you savagely hit on me right now?
Oh, my God. I mean, I've been wanting to since I've got here. I'm just like, I'm very aggressive. In terms of, you can't, like, try to nuance things too much. You just got to be yourself. And I think also if you take flirting too seriously, that you're going to F-U-C-K yourself over. We decided we're not cursing. We're trying not to curse that much. So I think you just have to be, like, laugh at yourself. Laugh at flirting. The whole thing is so awkward.
Right.
And I like to say other people are playing checkers and I'm playing chess. I'm just out here trying to have fun, do my thing.
Yeah.
But seeing yourself flirt on reality TV is brutal.
You're like, that's what I look like? That's what I sound like?
I'm just the kind of person that, like, if there's a guy around my age in the vicinity, I'm going to have fun and talk with him. And flirting's a part of life. It keeps us all, you know, excited and happy. And pheromones keep you having fun.
Right. Well, speaking of flirting, is your dating life as competitive as your tennis game?
Oh, my God. That's funny. I used to treat dating and men like a game. And I talked to my therapist a lot about it, and we realized that wasn't healthy. But basically, like, love and men are not something to win. It's not something to hold, like, a trophy when you have a boyfriend. Like, you're looking for someone who's actually emotionally stable and healthy for you, not just hot or tall. So I've since tried to make dating not a game for me and just me live my life trying to find my best friend.
Have you heard from Shane, the Jello shot specialist?
It's so funny. So he DM'd me the day after, and, like, I was just having fun, and, like, I wasn't that attracted to him, to be honest, but he was tall, so he's flirtable. And he DM'd me, and I didn't respond. He also spelled his name, Shane, spelled C-H-E-Y-N-E, so yeah. I judged him a little.
Right.
I judged him a little.
Do you think that was, like, his given name, or he was like, I'm going to change the spelling?
If he changed the spelling, then you know, I'm calling the police. But he he deserves love too. I just don't think I'm the right one for him.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the fashion icon that is your grandmother.
Oh my God. Nana still got it on Instagram, everyone. Follow that crazy bitch. She just posts thirst traps with motivational quotes. It's iconic.
And is she running that account herself or is someone helping
her?
Okay,
so she runs it with my 13-year-old cousin and I oversee it. Okay. We have like a whole company. It's like my 13-year-old cousin will be like, Nana wants to repost this meme. Do you think it's funny? And I'll be like, yes. And I'll be like, try to post around noon. But Nana loves posting at 7 a.m. when she wakes up. She thinks there's people waiting for her to post. And I'm like, Nana, it's not a prime time to post, but she won't listen to me.
Well, people wake up and maybe they're like scrolling in bed, you know? So like, yeah. Maybe that's when they're catching it.
I mean, I would rather die than wake up at 7 a.m. But when I'm her age, hopefully I'm excited to wake up in the morning
right,
still.
Right. Can you talk a little bit more about the rest of your family? You guys all seem so close.
Oh, it's so funny that like people, the nation is seeing my family. It's so weird.
Yeah.
And it did give me a different kind of anxiety besides like me going on a reality show. But what if my family came off weird and like people were judging my family? And that's like, that's when you get that crazy, like animalistic, like, I hope no one speaks bad about my dad or my brother. But we're really close. It's me, my brother, my mom, and my dad. My mom couldn't be on the show because she's in education. And and she's like, everyone's going to think you don't have a mom and I disowned you. I'm like, it's okay. But my dad was my coach growing up, so we're very close. Obviously been through a lot together. But I think it's important to show that the relationship between a father-daughter doesn't have to be that like traditional, like, I'm daddy's girl. Like, the relationships are so much more complex. We all have our own daddy issues and it's not that simple. So I wanted the show to kind of be able to capture that. And then my grandpa, who's 90, is hysterical. He's very grumpy. He's the one who was like, I hate the Hamptons. But he's amazing. And then my Nana and Papa are just adorable together. And my Nana is a sex kid. My Nana is the kind of person that should have had a TV, like she should have her own show. And the fact that now at 77, she's on TV, it's hysterical to the whole family.
Well, at least she's got this Instagram thing going for her now.
Well, I'm determined to try to, like, make her some money through Instagram. Like, I want her to get some, like, she's never had any plastic surgery.
Wow.
That's the incredible part about her. Oh, she's just, like, Italian with, like, olive oil dripping down her pores. I don't know.
That's the beauty secret. Heard it here.
You want to know about my flirting style. Once I think things are going well, I show him her and I go, that's going to be me when I'm 77. I'm like a wine. I just get better over time. I'm like, this is just half of the package.
Right. Well, working with someone who you also share the summer house with, is it ever awkward on like Monday morning, especially with like Jordan?
It's funny because our company like knew it was happening, but you want to be super professional and not just like talk about how you know, drunk you got and the fights you got in and you want to look like you're on your shit. So Jordan and I would occasionally be like, let's have a little meeting. And we'd like go into conference room and I'd be like, are you good? Are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm a little stressed. But I've always had his back because he really is an amazing person. He's really a kind, kind soul. He would never hurt a fly. I just think he's working on like who he is as a person. I'm from New York City, so I don't know what it's like growing up in the South with a military family, super religious, and then living in New York City. So I feel like he's dealing with a lot of like identity questions and not going about it in the best way. But I have hope for him.
So you think he's maybe being perceived on the show very different than he is in real life?
I would say that he is getting like some of the stuff he said that was mean about Danielle. Like he didn't really mean it. He's not like going around talking bad about Danielle. He like made a comment that she was like a rental car or something. And he has since apologized to her. I just think he's one of those people that wants to be liked. And we all can relate to that. But it's sometimes hard to see that. He's being himself most of the time.
Fair. Do you think the conversation you had with Lindsay about being girlish brought you guys closer together?
I think that it was a important time for our friendship where, you know, when someone, I think female friendships are complex. Sometimes you just hit it off with someone and sometimes like we're kind of similar. We're both kind of alphas. Like Paige and Amanda are very outgoing, but they're not like Leos like me and Lindsay. And when we're in a room, you could definitely tell, like, there's a power struggle. And I could have easily just been like, you know, I'm over her. I don't like what she represents. I don't like what she thinks says about women and femininity, and I'm over it. But instead, I wanted to take it from a place of, like, instead of the whole cancel culture of, like, when someone says something messed up, you just, like, dismiss them. I want to be like, I want to talk to her and say, this hurt my feelings and why. Because I think she wasn't malicious at all by saying that I'm, like, a boy or that I'm not girly enough. I think she was just poking fun in a kind of mean way. Yeah. But she doesn't, like, we don't have beef. So me talking to her, I think, was a way to show that I want to put an effort in our friendship and understand where she's coming from, and hopefully she understands where I'm coming from, and I think we grew from it. But yeah, she's a tough character to get along with, but I didn't want to be stuck in a house with her hating me, so I was like, I have to stand up for myself, but I want to do it in a calm way.
Right.
Because I know if I get in a yelling fight with Lindsay, I might get my head ripped off.
Right, totally. Totally. Well, I think the way you approached it was great, and she also, it seemed like she was trying to maybe celebrate your femininity more than, mm-hmm. you know, but I think the way she went about it maybe
yeah,
was perceived
I think
wrong.
She's kind of on the wrong side of history, to be honest. I think that the past, femininity and masculinity was defined by, like, women being caretakers and men being the sole breadwinners, and, like, that's not life right now. And femininity is so much more complex and beautiful than just, you know, looking good for a man.
And the same with masculinity. We saw her kind of make a jab at Jordan earlier this season, being yeah. like, oh, I don't think he should be wearing, like, a bikini and, like, a thong or whatever when he yeah. was just being playful. So yeah. it's a good thing you brought that up.
I hope that, like, if younger girls are watching, that they understand that it's more important to focus on being kind, being smart, being hardworking than being feminine. Just be yourself.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like, if I am given this platform on this reality show, I want to use it for some kind of good. But I did have a lot of fun on the side.
Right. Yeah. That's great. I have to ask, what's the deal with Carl and Paige?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we all can tell they have great chemistry. They have really good banter. She's obviously attracted to him. He's attracted to her. I think they were having trouble. They're having trouble figuring out how to take it to the next step. And Carl's just like, I like you. And she's like, can you show me? And it's at this, like, standstill.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of relationships get to that standstill where you're like, are you ready to kind of pursue this a little? Or you're just going to flirt the whole time.
Right.
So you get to see that kind of gray area that they're in.
Yeah. Well, we have Carl 3.0 this season. So mm-hmm. we saw him, you know, getting her pancakes.
It's so funny because, like, when we were filming, like, he would say that and we'd all laugh. And then it's, like, literally become a thing. Like, people on Twitter are like, Carl 3.0 for president.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Well, maybe not for president.
I mean, you never know.
I want to talk a little bit, too, about the Burning in Hell podcast. So what inspired you to make this show?
Well, I actually started it before filming. Burning in Hell is where I talk to people about their demons. I'm kind of sick of the show-off culture of Instagram, of everyone just making you feel bad about yourself because their lives look so great. And I want to talk to people you look up to whose lives seem so amazing, whether they're CEOs or influencers or reality TV stars, to talk about the stuff that keeps them up at night, the stuff that they're insecure about, their anxieties, their fears. And I've learned so much about, like, the mind and how similar we all really are. And just, like, you have to find appropriate ways to cope with your hell. And also I found that certain really successful people is, like, from personality disorders. You don't just see people who, like, stuff was just handed to them. You see that there's a reason they got to where they are, and hopefully some people will relate and be like, I felt lost like they were, and now look at them. Like, you can't plan your success in life, and I think this podcast is, like, forgetting all the small talk, and I just want to know how people work, and the dark stuff is what fascinates me.
Yeah. How has it helped you deal with your own anxieties and fears?
Yeah, I started it because I was aware that I didn't even know I had anxiety because I was a competitive tennis player. And when you're just in it all the time, you think that's just life. Like, I wake up nervous and, like, I'm sick to my stomach before competition. I just thought that was high intensity sports. And then I realized, like, oh, it was my body telling me, like, that I wasn't talking to myself in a healthy way. And then I've had some bad relationships that helped me reflect on, like, how I talk to myself and treat myself. And I think that I've been given this platform, and I just want to let more people know what I've learned. And then I have all these like random cool connections from being with Bravo and a lot of comedian friends, and comedians are so messed up in the head. I love them all. So I've just been kind of taking advantage of all the new people I meet. And podcasts are so cool because then you feel like you're just in the room with us and having a fun conversation.
Did you ever imagine you'd be performing at Caroline's on Broadway?
No. I thought there would be like a lot of smaller things beforehand, but when you podcasts, you forget that so many people are listening, even though you feel like you're alone. So I'm a little nervous because I'm going from like being in a studio to being in front of like over 100 people, but you just gotta throw yourself in it and see what happens.
And you gotta feed off the energy too. It's such a different like experience. So
I think it'll
be
so fun to see people in person and get that like energy back that you give.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the season's really starting to pick up, I think. What do we have to look forward to the rest of the season?
Oh my God. It literally, when I say it gets better and better, I'm not like exaggerating. I actually bring two of my British male friends next episode. And let's just say some of the girls are interested in Max, and I'd been dating Dave because he was like working all the time. So they would be like, what's going on with you? And I'd just be like, I've been having sex. And that's all people know about me. But now I get to actually have my own fun in the house. And you get to see my relationship with him. And then Kyle and Amanda have some other stuff that happens.
That's right. We saw a little bit of that in the super tease.
It's not just hunky-dory for the rest of the time, even though they seem great now.
Right. All right. Well, thank you so much, Hannah. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me. So happy you enjoy Summer House. Follow me at Being Burns. Yeah. That's where you get all the information.
Sweet.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's time for Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What's your rose?
My rose actually came from last week's episode of Mexican Dynasties, and it was when Oscar met up with his sort of like romantic interest, Tarek, again, who had come in from Brazil to visit. And I loved that moment because they really had this amazing chemistry, and I appreciated that Oscar was kind of honest with Tarek, being like, this is what happened before, like, things are moving along so well, but I didn't want to hurt you. And, you know, we have very different lives. So I loved seeing that kind of like open communication and that really sort of healthy honesty in their relationship. And also Tarek was so adorable. He had some great eyebrows. Oh, I hope things work out for them. And then in this week's episode, Oscar FaceTimed Tarek from their party. And it was so cute because everyone around them was totally gushing. It was just a really beautiful moment. But then Oscar really hung up on him. But it's totally fine. I stan them. What was your rose?
Absolutely. He just laughed because he read ahead. It is Ramona not knowing the difference between truth or dare.
Give me a dare or give me a truth. But I'll take either. But I'll do a dare.
Okay, dare. Do you think you'll fall in love again?
That's the truth.
See, I messed it up.
Question. No wonder why you don't play this
game. Ramona. Oh my God.
This is just too complicated.
Like, this is a game you learn as a child, right? And you play throughout your whole life.
Right.
And Ramona's like, so Bethany, dare. Do you think you'll ever fall in love again? No,
everyone's
Ramona.
Everyone's like, Ramona, no. It was amazing. I mean, she really just like, sometimes I'm just like, oh, Ramona. And then other times I'm like, oh, yes, Ramona. And that was an, oh, yes, Ramona moment. Crushed it.
What was your thorn?
My thorn is just generally Adam from Vanderpump Rules. Because I don't understand what he's doing with Sheena. If you're going to be like, no, I'm single, we're not together. But then you're going to take the time to go to a puppy shower with her. That is something only a boyfriend or a girlfriend would do, because come on, you know what I mean? So stop leading her on. Figure it out, Adam.
That's funny.
What's your thorn?
That Katie on Vanderpump Rules decided to start girls' night in to get back at James. And like the whole point was, Lisa, you don't need James. I know he brings in a lot of money on Tuesday. I'll do it. And then once she proves it can be successful, she's like, oh, I don't really have the time.
Right.
So.
Well, as much as I do want to do girls' night, eventually right now I want to put the pin in it, take a little break, and then revisit it down the road a little bit.
I had that written down in my notes for Vanderpump Rules this week because I was like, if you just did this out of spite, that's like really ridiculous. And Tuesday nights were such a successful night for them from a business perspective that than to throw another event that was equally as successful and then be like, just kidding, we're not going to do it anymore. Well, now Sir is out of the extra money that they were making from those nights. So Right. Come on, Katie. Well, at least we do know that Tom Sandoval has been throwing some like sexy tequila nights or something lately. I've been seeing him post that.
Oh.
So I'm coming to that.
I love sex and tequila. And next week we have an interview with Jax Taylor. And guys, he doesn't disappoint. It's good.
He's your favorite.
I mean, he just gave all the details about the reunion. So yeah, he is.
Next week, we also have the Allende brothers from Mexican Dynasties. We sat down with Elan and Adan, and they had a lot of fun talking about some sibling rivalry, living in their dad's shadow a little bit, and everything that's been happening this season.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye. Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss.